you're lost when it comes to your healthcare, right? Whether it's your health insurance, whether they're going to cover something or not, or you need a counselor and you can't find one because the behavioral health, it's a mess when you call your HMO or PPO or whatever you've got at work.
If you have the best insurance in the world, because you can't find a doctor to take your insurance, you can't get in for 6 months. So we're here to serve that person as well. We have a large commercially insured base. We have a large Medicare base. We take Access, which is Medicaid here in Arizona. When you're done with the visit, you know, he'll walk over to the computer after you've left already, or he'll walk over and get you the note. But the note will be probably 95% done for him. We help you get signed up Medicare. You might qualify for Medicare, one of the MA. We can help you with all of that. Your own insurance, we can help you go through your insurance and talk to you about your benefits that you have available. What we found is it actually does a better job documenting than the physician will themselves. Because when they have to document why they're talking to you, you know, you probably all see now we have a physician behind the
Hey there, welcome to The Upside. My name is Edmund Marquez. I'm your host. Today we are brought to you by Tom Heath of the Heath team at Nova Home Loans, your Tucson Sugar Skulls, and Lumify Marketing. You've got Manny over there doing an amazing job. Today, my guest is Dr. Clint Kuntz of El Rio Health. Very excited to have you. Welcome, Clint. Glad you're here with us.
Thank you. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, happy to have you. So a lot of us, if you're watching here and you're local, you know about El Rio, but I'd like to hear about you first. I know that you followed Nancy Johnson into some very big shoes to fill, and you're now our CEO of El Rio. Just tell us about you. I know you have 3 degrees, one's from a dreaded university, but tell us all about you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to even say that name on here, am I?
No, don't. It's ASHU to us.
ASHU. Yeah, so you know, I've been working in healthcare for about almost 20 years now, and started in Southeastern Ohio, but had a career before that in IT and manufacturing and did that for many years, and then got suckered in to help start a community health center back there in Appalachia. Ended up starting 2 of them and then got recruited out here to Marana. So I was at Marana Health for 9 years as the CEO there. Then 4 years ago, when Nancy Johnson retired from El Rio, they reached out and kind of recruited me over here to El Rio. And it was interested in it and decided to take the role because El Rio, I don't know, a lot of people even in Tucson, they know El Rio, but they don't know what El Rio is. You know, El Rio is one of the largest health centers in the nation.
Yeah.
So very innovative, very nationally known. So it was a big draw. So
what's the size difference between Marana Health and El Rio Health?
So Marana serves roughly 60,000 patients annually. El Rio, we served about 135,000 last year. This year, we just added operations in Northern Arizona from another health center that kind of declared bankruptcy, and we ended up having to take them over and help out Northern Arizona. But we'll probably have almost 200,000 patients this year.
Wow. And so what do you do outside of El Rio? What are your hobbies?
Who has time for hobbies anymore?
And I know. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We were talking Marvel Comics before
Love Marvel Comics, the movies, all that. But, you know, I have a Harley, so I like to ride my bike when I get a chance. So a weird fact, I'm a certified scuba diver. There's nowhere to scuba dive in Arizona, though, really. So that's
Patagonia Lake, it would be fantastic.
It might be zero visibility, but a few months ago, went down to Turks and Caicos and got dive down there. So if I ever get a chance, I'd love to do that as well.
Very cool.
I got my 12-year-old daughter, she actually got certified with me while we were down there. She got certified and was able to go scuba diving with me. So that was really fun.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. So give us for those of you that are watching, this is about the same as if you ever went to lunch with me. And I go to lunch with my buddies, and we're both on SALC, Southern Arizona Leadership Council. It's just like us going to lunch. So I'm going to ask a lot of the same questions I'd ask if we were going to lunch. But give me a mile-high view on El Rio, because I'll say, like, maybe 5 years ago, I was in an SALC meeting, maybe a Sun Corridor meeting, and Nancy Johnson gave us a presentation, and the footprint of El Rio had really been growing.
Yeah.
I think you had partnered with Chicanos por la Causa. They were doing some sort of grants or loans, and you were really expanding with a lot of construction. So what's the footprint now?
So we are a large organization. We started in 1970, so 56 years old now. Started in, as a small little community clinic that was needed by the community. So they kind of worked with the University of Arizona. Dr. Herb Abrams at that time had come from Chicago, helped start, worked on the family practice residency program there, started training doctors here, the School of Medicine. He really had his hand in all of healthcare in Pima County at the time, but also kind of helped start El Rio. So we started from the small beginnings over on right off Congress, you know, on the other side of the interstate there on the west side. So from that, we've grown. Now today, we're roughly 13 locations and, you know, serve all of greater Tucson. But we also partner with a lot of organizations, do a lot of other things. We provide, so we're what's called a federally qualified health center. What that really means is not a lot to a lot of people other than to us. It allows us to do a lot of things. A lot of people think that we're a federal entity. That we're not. We're a private corporation. We're a nonprofit.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
So we're a nonprofit corporations. We have a board of directors, which is the unique thing that makes us unique is that it's made up of patients. So our board of directors has to, by regulations and our bylaws, be at least 51% patients of the
health center. Wow.
So my boss is the patients. So the patients actually set the direction. I work for that board. But because of that, we applied for a grant. We got a grant from the federal government. It's a decent amount of money, but it's only about 4% of our budget. So that allows us to do a lot of other things. It allows us to run the homeless outreach programs that we run. We run medical services, behavioral services, dental services, physical therapy. We have a chiropractor. We have our own pain clinic now. We have 7 of our own pharmacies. We run a program called SIA, Special Immunology Associates. So that's does the Ryan White program, which is HIV care for a lot of Southern Arizona. We do that. We're one of the largest in the state that provides that care, but also other infectious diseases, Hep C, different things like that. So we have our hands in a lot of things, but it's all what's called ambulatory care. So we provide outpatient care. We do inpatient care at St. Mary's. So we do adult medicine there. We have hospitals there that see patients on the adult medicine floor. We do all the behavioral health services at St. Mary's and St. Joe's. We do the inpatient. We run the inpatient units. We do the consults, but then we also do the outpatient. So we can control both sides.
So demographically, so I've always seen El Rio as like maybe a middle to lower income demographic. And also you have services for the homeless. Individuals.
So that's a common perception of us, but we actually serve, you know, anybody walks through our doors. So we are there for the uninsured, basically anybody has a barrier to care, I like to say. So if you're under 200% of the federal poverty line, we have a sliding fee. So every service that we do is on a sliding fee scale for you all the way down to, you know, $5.
Oh, wow.
You can get care, you can get prescriptions. There's grants, we get help with that. We have some other revenue sources that we do that. We have some donors that help with that. But it allows us to do a lot of unique things there. But that's not the only patients we serve. We serve anybody. If you tried to get a doctor, you might have the same barrier to care, even if you have the best insurance in the world, because you can't find a doctor to take your insurance. You can't get in for 6 months. So we're here to serve that person as well. We have a large commercially insured base. We have a large Medicare base. We take Access, which is Medicaid here in Arizona. So it's split across all those different payers. We serve everybody, serve anybody. The mayor of Tucson, she tells everybody she's a patient of ours. So Congressman Siskamani's family, he tells everybody, I love El Rio, my patient, my family. So we have a unique, wide service area, group that we serve.
So if you go into an emergency room nowadays, and I was in one in December, and I noticed the high number of homeless people deemed to be or seem to be homeless people in the ER. And I think there's a federal law that says whether you're TMC banner, et cetera, you have to take care of them, which is great. Does bog down our emergency rooms a bit. Do you have an emergency room? Do you have an urgent care?
We don't have an emergency room. You have to be a hospital system to do that. We do have urgent care, but it's for our own patients who are already patients of ours, and we call it same day walk-in care. So our patients can walk in and get those services. But what you're talking about at the ERs is called EMTALA. And that's a federal law that anybody who walks through the door has to be seen and cared for and stabilized, regardless of insurance status, anything. The hospital is required to take care of them.
I gotcha. Okay. So born and raised Tucsonan. And I've noticed I'm asking this question because it seems like you do obviously have that care for the lower income and the homeless people. So
and that's our mission.
And then you do behavioral health as well. So born and raised, I'm 52 years old. I look at the number of people that are out on our streets and our medians and our washes. You just see them everywhere in the middle of Tucson. What's happened with El Rio over the last 5 years in regards to the care for them? Like what are you, what are you having to take care of?
So, you know, we have teams, we have roughly six teams that go out every day, and they go out, we treat people on the street, in the washes, at the shelters, the COO, Center of Opportunity, Bert Lopez's place. We actually have a site there.
Nice.
So we have a building there that we actually serve medical and dental needs there for that clientele and population. We also serve the medical respite that's there. We help with that. But the main part of our is just going out and finding people where that, building those relationships and starting getting them into care. Because a lot of times they have, people have some barrier for whatever reason, they've ended up where they're at. We want to help them get away from that. And it doesn't happen one visit over time, but we partner with some other agencies and different things that go out with us. And our goal is to get people, you know, moved through the system so they don't stay, you know, on Medicaid their lives, those type of things. So for them, we want to, okay, how can we get them into housing? Are they willing to engage? And after time, they start trusting us and they start willing to engage. And Old Pueblo, who does a lot of housing here, and you know, they do a lot of great things. They actually send teams out with us. So their teams will actually start working with somebody and, hey, let's see what's available, what we can get you in. There's a shelter we can get you in as a step. And then we'll step you up into other housing and things. So our goal is to make sure that people have pathways to get better.
From what I read prior to you and I sitting down, you serve one out of 10 for you serve one out of 10 Tucsonans.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, yeah, it's a 10th of the population. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Where are we trending? Like if you look at us over the next decade, where are we headed?
That's a really loaded question. Cause you know, I think our population's continuing to grow. You know, we've seen Tucson growing. We've seen Pima County growing, probably more outside of Tucson, honestly, but it's not really the suburbs. We all think of Moreno, Oro Valley, Sarita, everything. It's all kind of growing together. It's a big conglomerate now, over a million people. So right. We have a large population here. And our goal is to serve all of them in one way, shape, or form. But we're seeing shifts in some of those demographics. It's getting a little older. You know, we've always had an older population as a whole in Pima County. We're seeing that as well. About 50% of our population identifies as Hispanic. So that's stayed the same. That really hasn't changed in all the years we've been doing this. So I think really the only shift that we have seen as a whole is probably a little bit of a shift in older. The birth rates have declined a little bit. And so the population is growing, but it's because people are moving in. We still have people outside moving in. The birth rates are really stagnant though in Pima County. So yeah. We're not seeing the young as much as we would like. And I think that'll change. We're both on SALC, and I think that's one of our goals is to build up the businesses here, get people to move in with families and things like that. So I think we have a good trajectory in that area.
So I was speaking with the dean of the College of Medicine at U of A, and they say that AI has already come into play. Obviously, we have AI on our phones, et cetera. But there's an AI agent, AI tool that is now walking into the doctor's offices or in the doctor's offices with you. So as I have a conversation with my doctor, it's taking notes, and it'll actually have the doctor saying, I'm gonna prescribe you erythromycin. The AI will already start creating the script for you and everything. Are you using AI? And then where do you see AI taking El Rio over the next couple of years?
So what you're talking about is called ambient AI. And a lot of doctor's offices have rolled that out. If you go to see your doctor, there's a high likelihood they'll be using it. They will tell you at the beginning, ask your permission or have you sign a form so you know it's being done. But yeah, they take out their phone, basically. Ours are through the phone, but it's tied into our electronic medical record system. It's a system called Abridge is the name of the AI that we use. It's tied into EHR. We have a system called Epic. You know, it's probably by far the best EHR out there. I always tell everybody, every EHR sucks in every doctor's office. Ours just sucks a little less.
Nice.
Than that. Every physician will tell you that as well, that they all hate them. But this has made it a lot better for the physician, though. And what it does is allows you to have a conversation with your physician, just like you and I are having. That listening device, which is, in our case, a phone, in most places, it's their iPhone, those type of things. It'll listen. When you're done with the visit, you know, he'll walk over to the computer after you've left already, or he'll walk over and get you the note. But the note will be probably 95% done for him. The AI will document it in the right formats that the insurance company wants to see, because we got to love our insurance companies and their requirements. A lot of times it'll help put orders in, like you were talking about. It can help with medications that you've talked about. And what we found is it actually does a better job documenting than the physician will themselves. Because when they have to document why they're talking to you, you know, you've probably all seen now where you have a physician behind the computer trying to talk to you at the same time. Yeah. they'll forget things. They'll only put a couple words down just to remind themselves later. The notes are incomplete. They're like, oh, that's not important. I won't document that. But now everything you talked about, everything you addressed is now in that note. And it's so the documentation's much better. The everything from that, the care is going to be better, those type of things.
And now I don't have to deal with the bad handwriting of a doctor. So that's exciting.
That's better. Yeah. EHRs have helped in that area quite a lot.
So I mean, again, I'm born and raised Tucson boy. I see El Rio when I drive around town.
Yep.
I know Nancy Johnson. I know you. I know of El Rio, but I've never visited El Rio, never dealt with El Rio, never been cared for by El Rio. So if somebody's watching this, how do they get care from El Rio? Is it just the same as going to your doctor?
Same whether
they
have insurance or not. Whether you have insurance or not, we take pretty much every insurance out there. So we'd love to have you come see us. Call our number or go to our website. Easiest way is go to elrio.org and you can get signed up right online. You know, especially if you've already seen us, you'll have what's called a MyChart account. You can schedule appointments, everything yourself right through there. Or the main phone number is right there. Call the phone number and they'll get you taken care of no matter what you need. Medical services, behavioral, dental services, we can help you in those areas.
So health, behavioral, dental. And I would think most people, and I think about even my own employees, I think a lot of the time they're simply reactive to something that's happening medically. I don't feel good. I'm going to go to the doctor. So how easy is it to do business with or go visit El Rio for preventative? I just want to check up. I want to get my teeth cleaned.
We love that. You know, we love that because you have to take care of yourself, you know, long-term. If you just wait and go when you have a chronic disease issue pop up or something, a lot of times that could have been prevented a long time before that. So that's how we prefer to start our relationships with our patients is, you know, just when they want to do their checkups, their annual wellness, those type of things, especially kiddos, you know, we want to get them in. If you don't have insurance, don't worry about it. We have sliding fee available. We have ways to help you with that. Even our medications are available on a sliding fee.
On the sliding fee, if somebody makes $15 an hour, $20 an hour, whichever, how are you figuring out that fee? What would it cost on average?
It depends on what level you're at. So it depends on your income. If you're under 100% of the federal poverty level, it's basically about $5 for any medication.
Wow.
Yeah. And if some of them are even cheaper than that, depending on what we can buy them for, some of them are even cheaper than that, but that's about as much as you'll pay at the lowest level. Now, as you step up in income, the tiers go up a little bit and it's a certain percentages of that, but it's still cheap, you know, $15, $20, those type of things.
How does El Rio do it? Cause here's a blunt question for you. So if you go to a hospital and you ever see the bill from a hospital, it's outrageous. And so I've talked to different CEOs at hospitals and said, what the heck? You went in and it's a $40,000 bill. They're like, no. It's a $40,000 bill. But then after the insurance pays, it ends up being a $10,000 bill. It doesn't sound like El Rio is having to play that game, that billing game.
Well, everybody has to play that game with insurance. And that's one of the things we love about our insurance companies. And I say that a little sarcastically. But so they'll pay you the lesser of your bill charges or what their fee schedules are. So you can bill inflated charges in order to get them to pay a certain percentage of
Why,
that.
Though? Well, I mean, what's that's that? It's just a game.
Yeah. So then when they go to contract, you know, with say your employer, you have employees, you know, if you go to contract with that insurer to buy insurance for your employees, they can say, well, we'll get you a discount of 150% off of the listed charges. That's really what they're doing is playing those games.
It's games so they make and marketing.
It's games, marketing, it's all that. In the end, what the hospital CEO's telling you is correct. That bill, what you would pay as a self-pay cash patient generally would be less as well, those type of things. You can go, every hospital has a program, but they'll help you with that as well. We do too. We have a group called Eligibility Specialists, you know, HICRs, the name of the team, Insurance and Health Resources of that team. They do a lot of work for us, but they can help you get signed up. Maybe you qualify for the marketplace, the federal marketplace. If you don't have insurance, you might qualify for access. A lot of people qualify, don't know they qualify. We can help you get signed up. Medicare, you might qualify for Medicare, one of the MA. We can help you with all of that. Your own insurance, we can help you go through your insurance and talk to you about your benefits that you have available. None of that applies. We talked about our sliding fee scale, what we can do for you, how we can help you. So we have a team and call that same number. They'll get you set up with that. Your first appointment with us, a lot of times, if you're kind of don't know for sure, we'll have you meet with that team as well. So you can go through all the options. They'll talk about the services we have available because we do it in a very integrated manner. So your doctor's going to see the same chart and the same thing going on with you as your psychiatrist if you're seeing a behavioral health team.
You're sharing.
We share
medical
one chart.
Records.
Your dentist.
Which the entire country should do, by the way.
Your dentist shares. Everybody shares one record for you, which is not something you find.
No.
In most those places.
No, it's just like you have to reinvent your notes with a new doctor every time because they don't share any data. So I like to break the third wall, and I'll do it here. So if you're watching this and you feel like you're lost when it comes to your healthcare, right? Whether it's your health insurance, whether they're going to cover something or not, or you need a counselor and you can't find one because the behavioral health, it's a mess when you call your HMO or PPO or whatever you've got at work. Sounds like El Rio's playing in reality. Sounds like you can go to El Rio, right? And you basically can get taken care of without jumping through as many hoops, and they'll accept you no matter what.
We will absolutely. We'll help you out. We'll accept you no matter what. I hope it's seamless for you. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we probably make it
if
too difficult
call
sometimes.
Clint.
Call me directly. You know, email me. I had patients do that. You know, we'll get you taken care of.
I'm going to have you on speed dial after this. So I have to ask, it's the name of the podcast. It's called The Upside. Tell me as we look forward for where El Rio is today, and as you look forward into the future, what's the upside? What's coming with El Rio?
Yeah, so El Rio's doing a lot of, you know, innovative, unique things. We're growing because of the need. We also recently have taken over a health center that was called North Country. They were based out of Flagstaff, Arizona.
I heard about that.
Yeah, and they have locations in 11 communities, 13 locations across northern Arizona. So we have roughly 26 locations now, about 30 different access points. We're now providing care in the Grand Canyon. So all the care in the Grand Canyon, so if you're a tourist up there or few people do live there, we provide all the health care up there with a contract with the federal government for that. So we're doing a lot of unique things like that now. Wasn't something we had in our strategic plan, but when they reached out and said, hey, we need somebody to help us out, or 60,000 people are not going to have healthcare. Mm-hmm. So we stepped up and did that. The biggest thing that's going to be happening probably over the next 1 to 2 to 3 years is the One Big Beautiful Bill. And that's going to affect us directly, all healthcare directly. You know, there's a lot of changes coming to healthcare, good, bad, no matter what your view of it is, there'll be changes.
Sure.
I've said this before, and you know, there's $1 trillion that's being saved with One Big Beautiful Bill. That was roughly the estimates that they put out when they did the bill. You don't take $1 trillion out of any system without having to make fundamental changes to that system. So we're trying to figure out what does the new reality look like as a healthcare provider in this new, okay, if they're shifting a lot of responsibilities back to the state, to the local providers, you know, to people to pay, you know, basically, okay, you don't have coverage now, you need to pay cash because they want more personal responsibility. This bill does a lot of those type of things. How do we as a healthcare entity meet people where they're at and try to keep ourselves, you know, financially solvent and still serve everybody who needs served? So it's going to be a unique challenge. We're trying to find, you know, ways to leverage those challenges, not just look at the negatives and the downsides. There will be a lot of pain that comes, but so we're trying to find the good things. The healthcare system will be changing though, which isn't in and of itself is not a bad thing. You know, we don't like to have hard conversations in this country, and our healthcare system is, I always say, it's very broken.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think this is going to force us to have those hard conversations. You know, maybe how we got here wasn't how anybody wanted or liked, but I think in the end, we're going to have some hard conversations and some good things will come out of that.
Yeah. You know, there's a saying in business that change will never happen as slow as it's happening today. And I agree with that. We have to continue to adapt, but it sounds like we've got the right leadership with you. I did hear about your Northern Arizona deal as it was happening, and I feel very fortunate that our high-quality El Rio Health is going to be in the Northern Arizona area, in the Flagstaff area.
Yeah,
but I appreciate you being here. Everyone, this has been Dr. Clint Kuntz of El Rio Health. Fantastic. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
If I could clap right now, I would, but it'd be make no difference because I'm alone in a room with you. But thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. And again, this is The Upside. It's brought to you by Tom Heath at the Heath Group at Nova Home Loans. He's amazing. Call him for a home loan. Your Tucson Sugar Skulls and Lumify with Manny. This has been The Upside. I'm Edmund Marquez. Thank you for watching.